Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about kind of a word that we throw it out around a lot, and that's the word faith. Faith is something that we talk about, faith in Jesus Christ, faith in God. As Annie was talking about, faith that when you hop on an airplane, it's not going to come down, but there's science behind. There's faith in so many things in this world. And yet sometimes when you hear the world talking about a Christian's faith, you get a sense that there are some perceptions that Christians just kind of have this blind faith, that we step off the ledge, right? That we have this false kind of hope out there that is disattached from reason. That if you really could reason, if you really could logic, if you really could see the truth about this world, you would see that faith is just something that you blindly hope in. Is that biblical faith? Is that the faith that we have as Christians? I want to talk about this biblical Christian definition of faith. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:17. Let's read this verse together. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And so our faith is that something happened, right? What do we believe happened? Jesus died on the cross. He was placed in the tomb. And what happened on the third day? He rose. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our faith is based on something real, something tangible, something that happened. Paul talked to eyewitnesses who went to the tomb and saw the tomb was empty. Paul talked to disciples who saw Jesus alive in the flesh, eating and drinking and talking with them. If we were to say that faith is just a blind faith, I think Paul would say that our faith is futile because it's based on something real, something that happened, that there's evidence that people saw and proclaimed that Jesus was alive. In fact, some people that read about the early church say that the beginning of the church was not necessarily a Christianity movement, but it was a resurrection movement. That people who saw Jesus, who had died and rose again, proclaimed his death and his resurrection. That even though that Jesus was killed, God raised him back to life for the forgiveness of sins and for all who believed in him to share in this life and resurrection. We heard in Hebrews chapter 11 in our epistle lesson, let's read this verse together. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It kind of sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? That faith is being sure of something that we cannot see. And yet that's what our faith is. It's still based on evidence, something that we have received that Jesus has accomplished on the cross, but there's a portion of it that it hasn't yet been realized. We live in the, yes, Jesus defeated sin. Yes, Jesus has conquered death. Yes, everybody who believes in Jesus, our sins are forgiven and we have life. But do we still live in a broken world? Do we still struggle with sins even though we're saints in Christ? Yeah. Do we still live in a world where evil happens, where death seems to reign, where bad things happen that we can't understand? Yeah. When will all things be made right? When Jesus returns. And so Jesus has begun the work. He has ushered in his kingdom into this world. But he will fully do so when he returns. And so will we have received part of the promise, part of the guarantee of the Holy Spirit, of faith, the forgiveness, there is still something that we long for, something that we hope for, something that we have not received. And so as Christians, our faith is based both upon what has happened and also on what will happen, because our faith is based upon God's promises, and God keeps his promises. And so faith isn't just wishing, it's having this real assurance based on the evidence that God has given us in his word. To kind of explain this, in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews tries to explain this. And he says, all of these people, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Sarah and Jacob and Moses and David and Solomon, all of these people, they had this faith in God. Part of the things they saw God provide for them right there. But there were some things they still hoped for, some things that they hadn't received. And yet when they believed, God saw in their hearts a trust in him that God would be faithful. I think one of the biggest stories of faith is when you think about the people of Israel. They were enslaved in Egypt for how many years? For 400 years. And then God sent Moses. And with a mighty outstretched hand, God performed plagues against the people of Egypt to finally let Pharaoh let his people go so they could go and worship at Mount Sinai. And so when you look at why did the Israelites believe in God, Exodus 14 says that when the Israelites saw the great power that the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people did what? They feared God, and they put their trust in him, also in Moses, God's servant. And so their faith was based on evidence, based on what they saw, based on what they experienced it. So as much as we are 2,000 years removed from the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is our faith any less based on the evidence than the first apostles? It's the same story. It's the same account. It's the same truth that has been handed down from generation to generation. It's based on evidence. And so I want to kind of give a little comparison and contrast of kind of the blind kind of faith. And then I think that the biblical faith that you and I have in Christ. Now, one thing that I really, really like, is I like iPads. I don't know, do any of you guys have an iPad? There's all sorts of things that you can do with an iPad, but I enjoy an iPad, and I really want a new one. All right, I really, 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 really want a new one. And so I've been kind of telling people for a while, I want a new iPad. And so I think one day, on my way home from work, I think I'm going to get an iPad. But it's going to be for me at home. I know I'm going to get it. And so I'm going to buy a case for my iPad. And so I get a case for my iPad, and I have blind faith that when I get home, an iPad will be there. All right? Will there be an iPad there? Probably not. Or maybe, how about I enter a sweepstakes? Then I'll get an iPad, right? If I enter enough sweepstakes, if I put my name in enough drawings, then I can go out and buy that case, and then I'll have one waiting for me at home, right? We are right, okay? That's kind of this blind faith, just almost wishing, almost hoping that, you know, this blind faith that this iPad is just going to appear. Okay, that's really what blind faith means, that their faith is based on nothing. And yes, I think sweepstakes are like nothing, okay? I see them commercials and stuff that people really win it, but I don't believe it. All right, so biblical faith is not, you know, the birthday wish. It's not a tossing a coin into a fountain. Biblical faith, the evidence kind of faith, is if I went online to my favorite online retailer, and I bought an iPad. All right? I get a confirmation in my email saying, you have purchased this iPad. I get a shipping quote saying, your iPad will arrive in how many days? 2 days. All right? Give you a clue of where I buy this from. All right? And then I get a confirmation from UPS that the item is on a truck. And then I get another email saying that your truck is out for delivery. And then maybe my wife texts me, you got a box with a smiley face on it today. And then on my way home, I haven't seen it yet. I go and buy a case for it. All right? Because when I get home, I haven't seen it, but I'm hoping that it's going to be there. Now, what do you think? Is that an evidence-based faith? Yeah, because there's evidence that backs it up. As much as we think about faith as just, you know, the world says you just, it's a crutch. It's something that you just hold on to. The biblical meaning of faith is something like that iPad that you order, that you get all of this confirmation, because our Christian faith is based on evidence. Evidence that leads to knowledge. Knowledge that gives us an assurance of things that you cannot see. Does that make sense? And so, God has given us His Word. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. That God has given us His Word that is sharper than a double-edged sword that cuts to bone and marrow. It's active. It's alive. It's true. We base our faith on evidence that comes to us from God's Word that was written by eyewitnesses inspired by God, that He's active in this world, that He moves in the lives of people, that when God makes a promise, God keeps a promise. And so when we think about our faith, it's something that we can be sure and certain of. It's like this anchor for our soul in the midst of this life that tosses us this way and that way. It's something that we can count on. So when the world tries to poke holes in our biblical Christian faith, where do they always start with? The Bible, right? The Bible's not true. Jonah really didn't get swallowed up in the belly of the whale, did he? And he starts that doubt starts to get in there is we can't trust in God's Word. We can't count on God's Word. It can't be true. And yet even Jesus, He talked about Jonah. Jesus talked about Noah. Jesus talked about these people in the Old Testament as if things that really happened. And who is Jesus? God. All right, He was there, okay? And so you think about all the evidence that we have in Scripture, it testifies to itself. It is true. It is faithful. We can count on God's Word. It's a gift given to us of faith. Because Scripture always points to Jesus. Scripture in the Old Testament points forward to the Messiah. And all of the Gospels and the Epistles look back to Jesus who died on the cross to fulfill all of God's promises for you and for me. Jesus has died on the cross, not that we might just have hope, but that we may be filled with an unshakable faith that because He lives, we live as well. We also have these great gifts of baptism and Lord's Supper where Jesus promises to forgive our sins, to fill us with faith, to give us His Holy Spirit, to make us part of His family. God does something through the Word and through tangible earthly elements. And so what happens when we have faith like this? Faith in this biblical God who is with us and moves in us. I want to tell you about Hudson Taylor. He was one of the first missionaries to China. You can see that back in the 1800s, he was a missionary to China. And there was a story about his first voyage. His first voyage to China. And as the ship was going there, they were all sail ships at that time. One day there was no wind, And as there was no wind, there was an island with a coral reef that would wreck the ship. And so the sailors did everything that they knew how to do to avoid that island, to avoid those reefs. And the captain said, I don't know what else we can do. And Hudson Taylor told the captain, there's one thing you haven't done. The four of us, me and my three friends, we're all Christians. Why don't we go and pray? And so they all went into their separate cabins, and they prayed that God would rescue them, that God would send them a wind. And when Hudson Taylor came up out from his prayer, he told one of the sailors, hoist the sails. And the sailor says, the wind's not blowing. But Mr. Taylor says, it will. And sure enough, a wind came up and blew that boat to safety. He didn't know, but God was sending him on a mission to change hearts and lives in China. There's another story told by Dr. Helen Roosevelt. She was a missionary in Zaire. And she worked in this village, and she worked with the people there. And one day, a mom was giving birth to a child. And the baby was born prematurely. And the mom actually died in the process of that giving birth. And so they didn't know what to do with this child. The only way, they didn't have an incubator, so they usually had a warm water bottle to kind of put next to the baby to keep it warm, but it was broken. They didn't know, and they knew that if that baby didn't have something to keep it warm, that baby would die. And so one of the little girls in that village said, why don't we just ask God? Ask God for a water bottle. And the little girl said, Well, he's going to do that. Why don't we ask for a doll for his sister, too, so the sister knows that they're not alone? And they said, well, what good is a prayer going to do? But they prayed. And later that afternoon, that same day, there was a box that came from some missionary women of England. And in this box was what? A water bottle that child could be saved. And that little girl that prayed said, she started digging through that box because she knew what else was going to be in that box? A doll. And there was. 5 months before this prayer was ushered, the ladies packed up these bags and this box and sent it so that it might be an answer to prayer. God knows. May we have that kind of faith and trust, not based on a blind faith, but based on the evidence that God knows, that God cares, that God has sent his son to live, to die, who is always with us. May we celebrate the faith we have received by faith through grace. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you for moving within us that we may trust in you. Help us to know that our faith in Jesus, our trust in your word that points us to Jesus, is something that is true, something that is faithful, something that we can count on, that even when the world or our friends may make fun or seek to poke holes in our faith, to know that you, O God, are faithful and that we can count on you. Help us, when we're challenged by things that are beyond what we can handle, to go to you in prayer, praying confidently that you will move and act in our hearts and our lives, that your will be done. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.